From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, should Texas eliminate property taxes?
First, elimination of all property taxes is a non-starter.
Property taxes are not just a financial burden, they are fundamentally immoral.
Zero is what we want you to pay.
This is Texas Matters. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. Texas homeowners know this. The property tax bill has climbed higher and higher.
I've been a homeowner in North Richland Hills since 2005, and my taxes have now exceeded doubling.
It's gotten to the point where Governor Greg Abbott is calling for a complete elimination of property taxes.
What we want to achieve in the state of Texas is to eliminate your property taxes. Make them go away. Zero is what we want you to pay.
This idea seems to be very popular with Republican primary voters. We know this because they were asked. On the March 2024 Republican primary ballot, there was that question. Should Texas eliminate property taxes? 77% of the primary voters said yes. It was a clear message, and one that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick picked up on. But remember, in 2024, Patrick said this.
Eliminate all property taxes. You have no money left to do anything. This is a joke.
But Patrick, who leads the Senate, has directed the state senators to study how much it would cost to eliminate the property tax entirely. So either he has had a change of heart, or he wants the senators in this process to make it crystal clear how disastrous it would be for no more property taxes to be actually paid in the state of Texas. On September 4th, the Senate Committee on Finance held a hearing to find out what it would take to eliminate property taxes. And the reality is, getting rid of all property taxes collected by just school districts would cost the state $39.5 billion in tax year 2023. That's according to the Legislative Budget Board. Also, the state would have to shell out another $42 billion to cover property taxes also collected by cities, counties, and special taxing districts like hospital districts. Altogether, the state government would have to come up with $81.5 billion each year to completely eliminate all local property taxes. Senator Paul Bettencourt used a finger snap to illustrate his reaction to that.
When you see a number like this, it also shows you just how big of a magnitude we have. This is not something that you can find $81 billion and on a per year basis and not have a major impact in the remaining sales tax rates, because that is a huge amount of money to be able to replicate.
Chair of the committee, Senator Joan Huffman, asked Maggie Gebson, an analyst at the Legislative Budget Board, what it would look like to cut that much out of the state budget.
Total property tax levy is $81.5 billion. So if we completely got rid of property taxes, we would have to somehow come up with revenue in that amount to stay kind of at the current budget. So my question is, if we didn't have that $81.5 billion, can you give me some perspective of how that would affect the state budget? Like, what would we have to zero out in the form of agencies, or can you give me just kind of a broad answer on that?
Everything.
Yeah. Well, I want everyone to hear what we're, you know, what we do with $81.5 billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we looked at it in that for if you were to combine Articles 2 and 3, it's about 90% of that amount.
Okay, and those are the two largest. The public, for those that don't know, what agencies come under Articles 2 and 3?
Articles 2 include Health and Human Services.
So that's foster care, you know, CPS, yeah. Medicaid.
Department of Family Services.
All and a lot of this federally mandated, of course, costs that we have to do, right? But keep going. So you get rid of all of Article 2.
And then Article 3 is all public education agencies and all of higher education agencies.
Okay. So all the money you put on higher ed, all the money in public ed, all the money for Medicaid, all the money for mental health, human trafficking, all the issues, things that the state has made priorities, we would not have the funding for. Is that correct? If we didn't collect $81.5 billion.
It's 90% of the total property tax levy estimated.
Okay.
So it's clear that something needs to replace the $81 billion each year that Texas would lose from no more property taxes, and then that would likely be raising the sales tax. Senator Charles Perry asked witnesses from the comptroller's office what that would mean.
The rate to increase sales tax to meet the $47.5 billion deficit, if we were to take it out with sales tax only, what is that rate? What would it look like? It's 6.25 today. What would it be if
it would
we
be in the neighborhood of it would be in the neighborhood of 22.
So we would add 16 cents on top of the 6 cents that we're currently at, 6.25.
Yes, sir.
And sir, would you just introduce yourself so the record's clear?
Who's Brad Reynolds with the Comptroller of Public Accounts.
And there's not another state in the union that has a 22 cents sales tax, is there?
Not remotely.
And it's really 8.25 because most cities and municipals and counties take up that extra 2 points we let them have.
Correct. In all our major metro areas, we're at 8.25%, including local sales tax.
Senator Betancourt?
Just to follow up, Brad, on that, at 22%, could we be even looking potentially higher because of a loss factor? Because we'd be so far in the stratosphere, we wouldn't even be sure, to Senator Perry's point, of what buying patterns we would change by that macro change.
Now, that estimate assumes a reduction in taxable expenditures.
Okay. Right. And that's
because purchases are going to get chased out of state in all the parts of our state that are anywhere near a border. And you will just get conventional substitution effects. We have a lot of items in our for sale in our marketplaces that are not subject to sales tax but are reasonable substitutes for taxable items. For example, ready-to-microwave prepared meals that you buy frozen at the grocery store, those are not subject to sales tax. When you push their sales tax rate up, which applies to restaurant meals, to-go meals, you're inducing people that are budget conscious to substitute those non-taxable groceries for restaurant takeout. Similarly, you're going to get a lot of substitution in just what's called trading down.
Right.
Moving down the quality scale to lower price goods to make up for the higher tax burden.
And Brad, one follow up. The numbers this year on sales tax, I'm going from memory, 1.3% increase over the last 10 or 11 months.
Yes, sir.
Right. So we're seeing some fundamental restructuring in the sales tax collections we've got right now due to that type of effect. You've got buying down, ratchet down, et cetera, as well as substitutions, because there's so much inflation that's been baked into the cost of goods and services. So that's one of the reasons we're seeing, limited sales tax growth at this point. It's not like we're going to have a salad day of a 20% sales tax growth show up next month.
Okay. Correct. We have a lot of reports from major retailers that they're encountering a lot of price resistance now. And for both Target and Walmart recently announced, price reductions on thousands of the goods in their sales baskets. The major to-go fast food restaurants, McDonald's and others, more emphasis on value price meals as people shift to lower price goods. And that's just in response to the current level of prices. What delayed that response was a lot of savings was built up in the household sectors during the pandemic when enhanced unemployment benefits, paycheck protection payments,
programs,
and stimulus checks went out to households, but much of the economy was closed. People could not spend that extra money, but received it and built up big savings balances. So then as we came out of the pandemic, people began to spend again, and that's when inflation took off. But until that extra savings got spent down, we still had pretty rapid growth in sales tax. But that appears to be over now.
Right.
And so, yes, we're seeing very, very slow growth in sales tax receipts now.
But despite the hardships and disruption to the state that eliminating property taxes would likely cause, some like Vance Jin, president of Jin Economic Consulting, testified, this was the right thing to do, and Texas could do it using belt tightening and spending caps.
Over the last decade, the Texas legislature has made progress in tax relief, but the affordability crisis demands more action. Property taxes are not just a financial burden, they are fundamentally immoral. They force Texans to perpetually rent from the government, functioning as an unrealized capital gains taxes and wealth taxes paid annually. This system makes it difficult for families with lower fixed incomes to build and pass on a legacy. Last session, despite a $32.7 billion surplus by the state, new property tax relief was limited to just $12.7 billion. And the state budget increased by a record 32% in state funds from GAA appropriations to the initial appropriations. Although this was the second largest tax relief amount in Texas history, property taxes increased by $165 million last year from excessive spending by local governments. The path forward is clear. Spend less and reduce property tax rates rather than complicating the housing market with homestead exemptions, discounts, and abatements that make elimination more difficult. To eliminate property taxes, consider three simple steps. Cap property taxes to the no new revenue rate and freeze school district M&O taxes. Pass sustainable budgets that limit government spending with a strong spending limit based on a maximum rate of population growth plus inflation at the state and local levels, like Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights. But to be better would be to freeze or have a frozen Texas budget or cut spending by at least 10% given the excess this past session. Use surplus, and then number three, use surplus revenue by the state to compress and eliminate school M&O property tax rates in about a decade, even ending Robin Hood and having taxpayers pay 100% of these taxes through the state. This should include less spending on public education with more efficient universal education savings account school finance system. Local governments should use their surpluses to reduce their property tax rates to zero instead of having the state do it.
Others, like Shannon Holbrook, a fiscal analyst at Every Texan, said raising the sales tax would hurt the most vulnerable communities in Texas.
First, elimination of all property taxes is a non-starter. Property taxes are essential for the support of our public schools, local governments, and other public services. Without a state income tax or local property taxes, Texas would be left with a one-legged revenue stool with a much higher sales tax percent, as we discussed earlier, as our primary source of revenue. Further, sales taxes are regressive. Hitting low and middle income Texas families with this dramatically higher rate would seriously damage both their household budgets and the state economy as a whole. Sales taxes are also more volatile and a less dependable source of revenue for our schools during downturns. Our carryover balance is temporary thanks to higher tax collections, inflation, and federal COVID aid. Since 2021, many states have learned the hard way that permanent tax cuts in response to temporary surpluses are a bad idea after they've seen huge drops in projected revenue. Finally, we cannot support additional property tax cuts that do not directly help renters, 38% of Texas households and disproportionately Texans of color. Options there include a renter's rebate or a true circuit breaker policy that returns some money to renters depending on their ability to pay. The legislature could also consider a state earned income tax credit or a cost of living rebate, a refund of sales tax payments to eligible low-income Texans.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're taking a deep dive into the question, can Texas eliminate property taxes? And what would be the consequences? Who pays? To recap, Governor Greg Abbott says he is going to eliminate property taxes, but that would cost $82 billion a year, or the state would have to eliminate much of what it does, including all the programs for health and human services, education programs. A lot of this is federally mandated. So then the state could raise its sales tax to make up the lost money to 22%. And that would make the state non-competitive economically. It would hurt the poor, and parts of the economy would suffer, things like restaurants, outlets with big ticket items like cars, they would be hurt. And for more on this question, should Texas eliminate local property taxes? I spoke with Cheryl Pace, senior analyst at Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. Why would people want to eliminate the local property tax?
The local property tax has increased dramatically since the 1990s. And more it's becoming a thorn in the side to taxpayers, homeowners in particular, who then contact their legislature. The legislature, in response, has tried to reduce those local property taxes. They've made many efforts, and this past session was the most successful one, where they did manage to cut the school district property tax by about $4.1 billion net But counties, cities, and special district property taxes pretty much wiped out that tax relief to homeowners. So even as they, and as you well know, they spent $18 billion to do that. So it's very, very expensive. Our property taxes, even after that reduction, are $82 billion a year. And that's equal to all state taxes.
Well, what does that mean, equal to all state taxes?
The state of Texas brings in $82 billion every year in tax revenue. Sales tax, franchise tax, oil and gas taxes, any insurance tax, franchise tax. The total of all of that tax revenue is $82 billion. And just so happens that the total of the school district, county, cities, and special district property taxes at the local level are also $82 billion.
So, and you were saying that the property taxes have grown, and we've heard that's because appraisals have gone up so much in Texas. Property is worth so much more. A house that was worth $150,000, $200,000 is now worth $500,000.
Yeah. Property values in Texas have increased dramatically as Texas becomes the state where everybody wants to move. Property values have increased. And, you know, that's good for homeowners when they want to sell their house, but they don't like it when it comes to paying property taxes on it.
So the issue, though, is elimination of local property taxes. Why not just keep beating it down to where it was 15, 20 years ago before it so outstripped the earnings of many Texans?
The legislature has been trying to bring the property tax down. The problem is the only property tax rate that they have any kind of control over is the school district property tax rate, because school districts receive state aid. The counties, cities, and special districts, the legislature has no control over those rates. They did set a threshold of 3.5% increase in revenue for those jurisdictions, where if the jurisdiction sets a rate that raises more than 3.5% more revenue, they have to go to their voters to approve that higher rate. But there's also a disaster exemption in there. And as you know, this year, the majority of our counties have been declared disaster areas. And during a disaster, the county, cities, and special districts, instead of the 3.5% threshold, have an 8% threshold. So we're looking at a lot of those jurisdictions implementing that disaster provision this year. So it's like whack-a-mole. You decrease the school tax, which is the tax that they've got control over, and the other three go up.
If you raise the sales tax to what you mentioned, 2.5 times what it is now, 8.25, and you would get to about 22%, I can imagine would be really hard on certain industries and also on certain sections of the demographics?
It would be extremely hard. The sales tax is more regressive than the property tax. So the lower income people pay a larger percentage of their income to sales tax when they purchase goods. So it would be extremely difficult for them. It would be extremely difficult for industry. We would have by far the highest sales tax in the nation. The highest sales tax in the nation right now is Tennessee at 9.5%, and we would be at 22%. So if you saw a business, if a business was trying to decide where to relocate, they might take that into consideration. It might harm our economic growth. And we wouldn't be competitive anymore.
Well, I mean, you pay sales tax when I go to a restaurant. That's part of the bill, right?
That's correct.
And so now there's going to be what usually is 8.25%, now 22%. That's a big
hike. That's correct.
If I buy a new truck, and say, it would make more sense for me to fly to Oklahoma or New Mexico and buy a new truck there and drive it back.
Could, yes.
Working families who tend to spend, go live paycheck to paycheck, spending everything they got on groceries.
Now, most groceries are tax exempt, as well as electricity, and drugs are tax exempt for consumers. But the restaurant, meals prepared in a restaurant are not tax exempt.
Food to go is taxed, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so that would hurt them. So people would have to adjust.
People would have to adjust, and that's why the rate would be so high. Is our calculation was a little over 19%, but when you include the attrition due to the higher rate, people choosing to go to the grocery store and buy tax-exempt food and bring it home and cook it rather than going to a restaurant, you have enough attrition that the comptroller has estimated that the rate would be more likely 22 to 23%.
Cheryl Pace is the senior analyst at Texas Taxpayers and Research Association. But what about the politics of eliminating property taxes? It's an idea that's very popular if you don't think too hard about it. In reality, there are other ways to lower property taxes, but the Republican leadership of Texas isn't even willing to consider them. John Taylor is a professor of political science at the University of Texas at San Antonio.
Income tax, particularly a low state income tax, would offset issues related to property taxes. We've seen that in other states, California, for example, where they've been able to seriously limit the increase in property tax rates because they have a state income tax and a state sales tax. Oh, by the way, that's lower than the Texas state sales tax. And some people aren't going to like to hear this. The overall tax burden in California is far less than the overall tax burden of Texas as a result.
Let's talk about income taxes then, but we just don't because of why?
It seems to be this subject of we're going to see you know, riots in the streets and pitchforks and torches in front of the state capitol if we ever get this happen, and a governor that ever calls for it will be his or her last term as governor. We seem to forget that we are the second largest economy in the United States, behind California. We'd be the 12th largest economy in the world, and we're doing this by essentially running what is, in essence, 19th century style budgeting to try to basically operate a 21st century economy, to allow people who are making more money to actually, you know, pay more, pay their fair share. The other thing is that with income tax, it's a much more steady form of income for the state, a revenue for the state. I mean, property taxes go up and down. We get all sorts of changes based on valuation. We've seen this state see boom and bust over the years. Income tax would allow for some level of stability in state revenue picture.
But it's just not going to happen. It's just not in the political cards.
not in the near future. Here's my argument. We are more likely to see from the leadership of the state, if we ever face another major budget crisis, and you know we have booms and busts, so it's quite possible at some point in the near future, if we ever see another major budget crisis, there's a greater likelihood of seeing Texas legalize casino gambling and recreational marijuana use and tax both of those before we see a state income tax.
And there are people who are talking like that. That's not just
exactly
something you pulled out of the air. That's something that some people say would be a solution. But, of course, we've seen that movie before, and it didn't turn out the way that
and
they...
Exactly. And in some states where they went to these kind of systems, we'll use Colorado, for example, where they decided to put a very large tax on recreational marijuana use at first, it was a gold mine for the state of Colorado. It is not so much today. It's like in the old days in the 1980s and 90s. Hey, let's institute a lottery and it'll help pay for education. You saw where that went.
But, you know, on this theme about, okay, the elimination of property taxes in Texas. And so we see for so many middle-class homeowners that they are legitimately, with reason, talking about how much it hurts them. But we're not talking, about why is the burden on the middle-class homeowner and why isn't it on big industrial commercial property.
Here's a novel idea. How about not providing billions in tax abatements for a state that already is in great shape economically? You're not going to somehow discourage businesses from moving here because you decided to eliminate tax abatements when you have all sorts of other tax structures and just in general a good economy with, in general, depending on part of state you're in, a good workforce and everything else that's in play, lower cost of living and all that. So to say that somehow we've got to have these tax abatements and, you know, keeping them in place for 10 or 20 years, I think it's actually, you know, not only disingenuous, it does a disservice to local economies and the state economy.
But also, you know, as a middle-class homeowner, I hope I am, you know, I am paying a truer representation of my property value in my appraisal and in my property taxes compared to if I owned a refinery.
No question.
So they're going to be getting just a much lower appraisal compared to the actual value of that property. And so I am absorbing the burden of the overall property tax system simply because I am being taxed at a truer estimation of what the value is.
I would agree with that. And, you know, if you actually tax these properties at their true value – You know, they'll be screaming and complaining, oh, you're going to kill the Texas dream. You're becoming anti-business. No, you're having businesses and industries who are making a contribution to the state to begin with, yes, with employment. But at the same time, they need to pay their fair share if they're going to reap the benefits of an educated workforce, of infrastructure, and everything else that comes with, well, government.
So this idea that property taxes are immoral, it does seem to be taking hold in the Republican Party. That if you own your property, you should not be paying rent to the government. So the framing of this issue does seem to be toxic. Should be a more healthy way of looking at why I am paying property taxes on my property?
It's called the cost of doing government. It's the cost of being a citizen. I mean, it's the old idea of taxation is theft, essentially. No, it's not theft. It is simply a case of last time I checked, and perhaps I'm wrong, we are all in this together. It is a collective effort as citizens. We are not just, you know, Ayn Rand-like individuals who are standing alone from society. You know, you do have a contribution, even if you don't like it. You know, we have to have collective effort here to be able to actually pay for government.
John Taylor is a professor of political science at the University of Texas at San Antonio. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters at tpr.org. And you can download Texas Matters wherever you find cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.